you will, please find your place in Jeremiah chapter 32. I do appreciate you being here this morning, being faithful to the house of God this morning. Appreciate you singing from your hearts, desiring to serve the Lord and please Him in all that you do. Jeremiah chapter 32, we're going to give kind of a survey of the chapter and then point out some practical things that, Lord willing, will be a help to all of us before we're done. Jeremiah chapter 32, let's begin reading in verse number 26. The Bible says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses, upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face." Here's where I want us to begin our focus, verse number 32. The Bible says, "Because of all the evil the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem," so everybody's involved in this thing. Look at verse 33. "And they have turned unto me the back, and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have sitting before us this morning to open the Bible, to receive the instruction of the Scripture, to learn from those who lived in the past, who heard your teaching, who understood your teaching, and yet refused to give heed to it. Lord, I pray you'd help me this morning. I have thoughts in mind that I would like to convey to the people. But Lord, if they're not your thoughts, Lord, I pray that you would remove them, scratch them from my mind. And Lord, help me to only say what you once said. These are your people. They're not mine. They're yours. And Father, I pray you'd minister to them. Give them what they need. Give me what I need. Lord, we all need to hear something from you this morning that would change us, that would make us walk out of here different than when we came in. And Lord, I just pray that you would open our eyes of understanding this morning, that we may see and glean and understand what the Scripture is teaching. And Father, help me to be a help to your people. Lord, thank you for the privilege I have to stand one more time and open the Bible and teach and preach from your Word. I pray that you'd make it profitable to all of us. And we'll be sure to give you the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We often in this lifetime wonder how or why we are in the trouble that we're in. At times we even go to the extreme of questioning God's presence. Where is the Lord? Why did the Lord let this happen? And why did God do this? And why did the Lord do this? And why didn't God do this? And God could have done it this way. And all those things go through our heads. When troubles come, we begin to wonder, where is God in all this? You know the scenario. What we fail to realize is that much of the time, not all the time, but much of the time, that we are in the trouble we're in because we failed to acknowledge the Lord when He did show Himself. There are times where troubles could be avoided. Not all the time, you know that. Not all troubles because you sinned. I hope you understand that. And yet there are a lot of times when we end up in trouble, we find ourselves in difficulties, and we begin to question the Lord, and the Lord, if He would speak to us in an audible voice, would say, I tried to tell you, or I tried to warn you, or I tried to teach you, and you wouldn't. And so that's why you're in the trouble that you're in. Now, aren't you thankful this morning that we serve a gracious God? That I don't believe the Lord's just looking for opportunities to get us in trouble and to heap tribulations upon us and all that. I think we have a God that's gracious and merciful and long-suffering, and He loves us and He cares about us. But at times, as a good Father, He has to allow us to experience troubles because we wouldn't listen to Him. And the Lord says here, and this is quite an amazing thought. We'll cover, as I said, we'll do a survey of the whole chapter here in just a moment. But look at verse number 33. He says, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face. The idea there is the Lord, when He is speaking to us, He wants our attention. He wants us squared up to Him, eyeball to eyeball, face to face, paying attention to what He says. But He says instead, what Israel did is He tried to teach them, but instead of giving Him the face, they gave Him the back. And the idea is they have turned away from the Lord. We know what you want. We know what you're teaching. We know what you're saying. But we want to go this direction. And I would say it's probably a shameful thing, really, if we could see in all of our hearts and understand our hearts the way the Lord understands our hearts, that I dare say church pews this morning are filled, pulpits, church pews, sound booths, choirs are filled with people who outwardly we say we love the Lord, we show up and we go through the motions, but inside our hearts we've given the Lord the back and not the face. And we wonder why we're in the shape we're in. We wonder why is this country so bad. And we, you know what, I'm just going to be real blunt with you. You can point at the president, you can point at the Senate and the House, and you can point at that stuff all day long. The problem's not there. The problem's in church. Because if we truly loved the Lord like we are supposed to love the Lord, things would be different there. I'm just throwing that out. Now, we find here in Jeremiah 32, we do need to kind of look at some details because it's going to teach us something about our own lives. Look at verse number 1, Jeremiah 32 and verse number 1. The Bible says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadrezzar, for then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. So I'm going to stop there for just a moment. This Zedekiah was actually made king by the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon has already come, and he took down the one king and made Zedekiah. His name wasn't always Zedekiah, but he changed his name to Zedekiah and put him on the throne. And so he's on the throne because of Babylon, and now the Bible tells us the king of Babylon, his army has besieged Jerusalem. He's there. He's got his army there. You can go to 2 Kings 24 and 25 to learn more about this. It started the 9th year of Zedekiah, went into the 11th year of Zedekiah. And so it's going on. Now, it won't be long before Zedekiah will stand before the king of Babylon and have his eyes put out. Now, that's not a pleasant thing, is it? All of this could be avoided if God's people had merely learned the lessons. They didn't have to go through any of this. I guess I need to tell you that when God delivered Israel from Egypt, brought them out, brought them across the Red Sea on dry land, took them through the wilderness. He was going to take them into the land. I mean, it would have been a short trip, really. But they didn't believe the Lord. They looked at the inhabitants of the land and they got scared and they lost faith in God. And so He says, okay, fine, if you don't believe me, wander around in the wilderness for 40 years till y'all die. And when this generation dies, then I'll take the next generation in. But He says, listen, when we get over into the land, if you will just do what I say and you'll just listen to me, you can stay there. You don't ever have to leave. You don't have to get plucked out of the land anymore. You don't have to have people coming into the land. I will take care of you. All I ask, I just ask one thing, and that is that you obey me. That's it. And so he warned him. He says, now look, if you don't obey me, I'm going to allow other people to come in there and take you away just like I've taken them away. I can't be an unjust God. I'm taking people out of the land because of their behavior. If I just let you stay there, no matter how you behave, then I'm not a just God. I am a just God, and so if you misbehave and you don't do what I've told you, I'm going to pluck you out of the land as well. And so he told them all this. All they had to do was obey the Lord, listen to his teaching, learn from his teaching, and do his teaching. And yet, they didn't. Zedekiah will be getting his eyes put out soon. Now look at verse number 2, the second part of the verse. It says, And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. So Jeremiah is shut up, whether you want to call him in prison or not in prison. I mean, I think he's pretty much in prison. If you're shut up in the court of the prison, you're pretty much in prison. You say, well, what horrible thing did Jeremiah do? Look at verse number 3. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say? So here's what Jeremiah was saying, and it bothered Zedekiah to the point where Zedekiah put him in prison. Jeremiah's message was this: wherefore dost thou, or says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. Now, I wonder, I don't know, okay, I don't want to be dogmatic about this, but I wonder if Zedekiah had treated Jeremiah a little bit differently. You ever wonder about that? If Jeremiah had been... You know, if Zedekiah said, hey, look, you know, I'm trying to preach hope and peace and change to these people, and you just keep running your mouth the other direction, could you be a little gracious and, you know, tame it down? I mean, you understand, what if he had treated, but Jeremiah says, your eyes will behold his eyes. Well, your eyes are going to get put out now, buddy. I mean, this has gone from bad to worse, you know. Your eyes are going to behold the king of Babylon's eyes. That's bad. Your eyes aren't going to behold his long because God's going to let him put them out. That's worse. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Now, I don't know. Maybe that was the plan all along. But the Lord says, Jeremiah, here's what you should preach. And his eyes are going to be beholding the king of Babylon's eyes. Now look at verse number 5. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. Now I can... Maybe this is wrong. I can sympathize a little bit with Zedekiah. I mean, look, I'm trying to tell these people everything's going to be okay. And every time I tell everybody, hey, calm down, people. It's okay. We got this under control. Here comes Jeremiah. It's not under control. You're going down. Well, no, guys, we can fight. We can win. Hey, you can fight all day long. You're going to lose. I mean, okay, I can understand Zedekiah saying, hey, you're making it really difficult to be a good king. You just keep every message I give, you give the opposite message. So he doesn't want to hear what Jeremiah is saying, and he doesn't want the people to hear what Jeremiah is saying. So he says, I've got to shut Jeremiah up. I've got to put him in prison and lock him away so that this message stops. Let me tell you something. God's word is going to come to pass whether you shut up the messengers or you don't shut up the messengers. It doesn't change what God is going to do. The best thing all of us can do, myself included, is listen to the messengers and prepare ourselves for what's coming. Instead, they thought, if he's out of sight, he's out of mind, and it's not going to come to pass. But they were wrong. Now, if you look here in verse number 6, this is kind of a strange passage, really. I'm not going to spend much time here, but I do encourage you to read it. It's kind of a neat little thing here. Verse number 6, Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. Now, why in the world? Okay, think about this. Jeremiah just preached, the king of Babylon is going to come and take the land. And then in the next verse, he says,
The Lord said, somebody's going to come to you and want you to buy a field, and he tells him, buy it. Okay, that's a great idea. Somebody's going to come and take the land, but you want me to buy a field. Now, I want you to think, I'm asking you to think a little bit this morning. If we knew for a certainty somebody was coming, Muslims were going to get ready to take over the country, they were coming in full force, and they were going to own Knoxville. And in the next sentence, the Lord says, but I want you to buy a piece of property. Why? I mean, it's of no value. They're not going to honor my deed of purchase. And they don't care. But he says, I need Israel to know that just as I'm going to remove them from the land and take them away, I will bring them back again. And Israelites will again own land here in this place. And so it's a message of hope. And praise the Lord for that. You can read on down to verse number 26 about this, or 25, the hope that the Lord's given them. And then verse number 36, the Lord picks up that same message down to the end of the chapter. You can see in verse number 36, it says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof you say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. And so what a blessing that hope is coming. And we thank the Lord for that. But in verse number 26, you find that the Lord is going to explain to Jeremiah, this is why you all are going through the trouble that you're going through right now. Verse 26, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. Notice this next word, for, F-O-R, not F-O-U-R, F-O-R. You know what that means? Here's why that's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. Now, verse 30, here's why. Okay, so let's figure out what the reason is. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because, notice this, because of all the evil the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them. That is such a sad phrase. You know what the Lord says? I did my part. I tried to show them. I tried to warn them. I tried to teach them. I sent priests. I sent prophets. I sent teachers. I sent kings. I've tried. I've done everything. I gave them my commandments. I've done everything. Though I taught them, though I did my part, though I made it known to them, don't go this direction. You're going the wrong way. Even after I told them, hey, don't go that way. And then they started that way. And then I would send somebody and say, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Don't go that way. And then I would send somebody else, you're going the wrong direction. Don't go that way. Though I taught them, I tried my dead level best to keep it from getting where it is today. But man gave me the back, not the face. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, what do we expect from the Lord? We expect Him to override our will and just stop us and just don't let me do it. The Lord, that's not the way the Lord works. You know that. The Lord's not going to override your will. He didn't override your will to make you get saved. He's not going to override your will to make you do right after you get saved. And the Lord says there in verse number 33, though I taught them. Look at this, rising up early and teaching them. Yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. Turn with me to a few other passages on this kind of this thought. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah chapter number 7. Look at verse number 13. We'll just stay here in Jeremiah with this part. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 13. He says, "And now because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. And I called you, but ye answered not." You know what the Lord's saying? I tried to get your attention. I tried to get your attention, and you just wouldn't hear me. Look at Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter number 25, and look down at verse number 3, if you will. The Bible says here, Jeremiah 25:3, "From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you." This is Jeremiah talking. He says, "I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear." Look at Jeremiah chapter 26, verse number 5. Just look at verse number 4 for some context. It says, "And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened." Look at Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. I mean, I don't know how many of these it should take, really. I mean, how many times should the Lord have to say this same thing before Israel and Judah? They said, you know what? We're going to pay attention to the Lord. Jeremiah 35, look at verse number 14. The Bible says the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine or perform, for unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearken unto me. And there's more that we could go through, but I think that suffices. You know what the Lord says? I tried my best to get your attention, and you wouldn't listen. You say, well, what's in this for us? Well, let me give you some things to think about. Throughout history, God has spoken to man in different ways. I mean, there were times when God spoke to men in an audible voice. That'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? Be able to hear, the Lord just speak to you in an audible voice. You say, yeah, if we heard that, it'd be different. Well, people have heard that, and they missed the lessons. They totally ignored the audible voice of God. You say, no way, yeah. Behold, when the Lord Jesus Christ is baptized, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. I mean, people heard the voice. That didn't change things. In the garden, I mean, you got Adam and Eve. I mean, the voice of the Lord God walks with them. I mean, God. I don't know how you get much more plain than the Lord got with Adam. It didn't work. I mean, they had one thing not to do, and that's the one thing they did. God gave them signs and wonders. You say, I mean, if I was there when the Red Sea parted, I would never miss any of the Lord's lessons. There were a bunch of people there when the Red Sea parted. There were people there when food's falling down from heaven. There are people there when rocks are just spewing out water. There are people there when all manner of plagues are coming on other people, and they're not getting any of the plagues. People have seen God's signs and God's wonders and still missed the lessons. It's horrible. God gave them the law. I mean, what a magnificent event that had to be. And people were so afraid to get near the mountain. They said, Moses, would you just talk to him and tell us what he says? We don't want to get close to him. And God gave them the law, and they broke the law. I mean, over and over and over again, God gave them stuff and they just ignored it. God sent them prophets, they killed them. God gave them priests, they corrupted them. During the earthly ministry of Christ, you think about that. It says he sat daily with them teaching. Here's what I mean, this is just me too. It's same way you'd probably be. In my flesh, I think, boy, if I would have just heard him teach. If I could have just sat on that hillside or sat in one of those temples and just heard Jesus himself teach, it would be different for me. If I heard him personally say this, I would be different. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people sat at the feet of Jesus and heard him teach. There were times he'd say, okay, you see that sower over there? Sit down here for a second. The sower is going to go out and cast seed. Now watch what he does there. Let me teach you about that. And let me teach you what that pictures as far as a spiritual. What a magnificent thing. And he goes to the fig tree and curses the fig tree and learns something from the fig tree. I mean, over and over and over again, the Lord Jesus says, hey, look at this. Let me make you fishers of men. You know about fishing. Let me show you something here about fishing. I mean, over and over and over again, the Lord taught those people, sat with them daily, he said, and they missed the lessons. They heard it. They saw him with their eyes. I mean, can you imagine that? We've never seen him. Never with my eyes have I seen the Lord Jesus Christ. One day I will, but I have not. And my flesh will tell me if you would have only seen him, you'd have done what he said. He wouldn't have been crucified if you'd have been there, right? If you would have been there, you'd have been the one that said, no, hey, hold on a minute. This is my Savior. It's what Simon Peter did, and it was contrary to the will of God. We just missed. I mean, the Lord Jesus says, hey, I'm going to go be crucified. It's the will of God. This is what's supposed to happen. And Simon Peter says, not so, Lord. Simon. You know, I mean, they just missed it over and over again. Jesus Christ gave them signs and wonders. Hey, let's call Lazarus from the dead. Hey, let's raise that one from the dead. Hey, let's heal the sick. Let's do that. Let's feed the thousands. That he did that over and over again, and yet people still miss the lessons. Fast forward a little bit, and God sent out apostles. And they, I mean, you know, you're the handkerchief from I think it was Peter or Paul, I can't remember who it was, the handkerchief can heal the sick. I mean, just get people in Peter's shadow and they'll be healed. Man, if we had that. I mean, if I was in the temple and I saw this guy just stand up leaping and start praising God, I'd believe everything they said. You know what they did? They killed the apostles. I mean, it's just crazy. They didn't believe the signs. They killed the apostles. They put them to death, some upside down, some different ways. They martyred the apostles. And even those that came after the apostles, they put them to death. The Lord gave us the scriptures. Praise God for the scriptures. Thank God we have a completed canon of God's holy word. Everything God wants you to know is right here in one volume. I mean, that's unfathomable that God would put everything he wants you to know in one volume. Now look, mine looks big. It's got a blank page. Give me one of these small ones. Somebody with a small Bible. I need a smaller. The electronic device won't do for the point. Look at that. Everything God wants you to know can fit in there. That's it. I mean, you don't have to go rent out libraries to get it all and all that kind of. It's that small. And yet we just reject that. God says, well, I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to give you some wisdom. I'm trying to teach you from my word. But we just keep rejecting the lessons. I don't know what more God can do. God gave us pastors and teachers and evangelists to teach us the things that are written there. God did one up on that. God put the Holy Ghost, the teacher, inside of you if you're saved. I mean, how much better can it get? You say, well, I don't know. If you're saved, the teacher dwells in you. And he's trying to, I mean, you think about it. Our God, throughout history, has always looked for any possible opportunity to teach his people the truth. God said, you're going into captivity, and your king's going to go stand before their king. He's going to be taken out of the land because I rose up and tried to teach you, and you wouldn't listen to me. And so here's what I'm thinking. Let's fast forward now to 2015, where we are. You think we've all of a sudden fixed the problem? You think we've all of a sudden, well, you know, they did it wrong all those years. I mean, for thousands of years, mankind has done it wrong, but we've evolved. And we're better now. And we know what we're doing. And when God tells us something, we do it. No, you know what I think is still happening today? And I'm not talking about the people out in the world. That's obvious. I'm talking about us that are in here, okay? Let's forget about those folks out there for just a moment. I'm talking about us. I think there are times, multitudes of times, when God sees trouble on our horizon and he tries to warn us, whether it's through the scriptures, whether it's through the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, whether it's through the teachers. Maybe it's a friend that comes up and just, you know, warns you about something or says something, doesn't even know anything about the circumstances. We've all seen the Lord work in some magnificent ways in our lives where somebody would send us a card or somebody would call us or somebody would just bump into us and say something to us and it would resonate with something the Lord was already doing in our hearts. Our God rises up early and tries to teach us, and we ignore the lessons and we go on. And we're punished. Now, I'm not trying to tell you, please hear me out on this. I'm not trying to tell you that I have an answer for how you can never find yourself in trouble. But I do believe that much of my trouble is brought on by me. And I believe that there are times when the Lord tries to warn me. Maybe it's a still small voice in my heart. Maybe it's a Bible passage. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's some circumstance. But the Lord says, I tried to teach you and you wouldn't receive the lesson. We fast forward a little bit. I keep going. The Lord says, I've tried to teach you. Don't go this way and you just won't listen. I keep going, and the Lord says, I'm trying to stop you. You don't understand. There's trouble up ahead. You're going for trouble, but I'm trying to stop you because I love you and I care about you. I've put good people in your path to warn you about this. I gave you my word. Don't go. And then we keep going, and the Lord says, okay, I don't know what else I can do. Go ahead. And then we get in trouble. And we say, where's the Lord? God, why did you let? And God's saying, why are you blaming me? Why are you blaming me? I've been trying all this time to stop you, and you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't learn the lessons that I'm trying to teach you. So now you're in trouble, and who do you blame? You don't say, Lord, I'm sorry. You say, Lord, where are you? And the Lord says, well, I was here, and I was here, and I was here, and I was here, but when I got tired of seeing your back and not your face, I let you go. And I wonder how many of us, myself included, we could avoid a lot of the troubles that we find ourselves in if we would just merely listen to the lessons. It's not that God's not teaching. Wouldn't we agree? We'd all agree to that, I think. It's not that God's not trying to teach us. It's that we're either too busy, too proud, too caught up in the things of this world, we're just not learning the lessons. And so you know what? Our gracious God has no choice but to allow us to go through troubles so that we finally wake up and at least start talking to the Lord. Now, it doesn't start where it ought to end. It starts blaming God, and hopefully eventually our hearts get softened to where we say, you know what, Lord? I do see where you tried to warn me. I do see where you gave me that friend who came along and warned me about that. I do see that Bible verse. I do see that sermon that you tried to warn me, and I'm sorry that I just missed the lesson. I don't want to miss the lessons. I'm not always looking for a devil behind every bush, but I am always looking for the Lord teaching me in the circumstances of life. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn here? Okay, Lord, what do I need to learn here? Okay, Lord, what are you trying to get me to see? And if he's not, okay. But I just know that my God is always looking for opportunities to set me down on a hillside and explain something to me. And God forbid that I would miss his lessons and bring trouble upon myself and upon you all and upon my family and upon others because I didn't listen. Because Zedekiah and the children of Israel, when they didn't listen, they brought trouble on everybody round about them because they missed the lessons. When you miss the lessons, you hurt yourself and you hurt other people. When I miss the lessons, I hurt myself and I hurt other people. God forbid that we should miss the lessons. Let's stand. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're a gracious God that tries to teach us when we're headed for troubles, when we're headed for difficulties, when we're headed for heartaches. You warn us, you admonish us, you give us direction, you teach us the right way, you teach us the truth. You send folks who love us to warn us. You give us Bible passages to direct us the right way. You give us messages and Sunday school lessons and maybe even songs, Lord, to open the eyes of our understanding to see that we're headed for trouble. And, Lord, we just missed the lessons. Lord, while we could sit here this morning and just say, if we'd have heard the audible voice, or if we'd have seen the risen Savior, or if we would have seen the miracles and the signs and all that stuff, we would have done better. But, Lord, the truth is mankind has always missed the lessons. And yet, for some reason, you just keep teaching. Lord, we thank you for that. But we pray, Lord, we don't want to keep missing the lessons. We pray that you would open our eyes so that we can see and do what's right. Lord, we don't like trouble. We don't want to be in trouble. We don't want to find ourselves in trouble. We don't like heartaches. We don't like chastening. We don't like difficulties and tribulations. And we don't like any of it. Lord, we pray that you would soften our hearts so that we can learn the lessons before it has to go that far. Lord, I pray you'd minister to your people here this morning. No doubt there's somebody here that truly needs, maybe it's me, somebody here that truly needs to hear this morning because we or someone is on the wrong path and it's time to turn the face to our Lord and not the back. God, help us. We love you, Lord, and we do truly love you, but we know that our love is weak and our love of self is strong. Help us to overcome our flesh so that we can learn from you what we need to learn. We love you, Lord. Thank you for first loving us, and thank you for continuing to love us. Please speak to the hearts of your people now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.